Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, December 6, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight, and Charlie Klein will be joining me shortly here. During this Christmas season, we're going to start every show off by saying Merry Christmas, America. Yes, we believe it's okay to say Christmas. We believe Merry Christmas is the right thing to say at this time of year. We believe in the Christmas tree, and we believe in what Christmas stands for. And it's not the holiday, it's Christmas. So it's not season's greetings and holiday, happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas. And then, of course, Happy New Year when we get closer to that time. Here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, we believe the number one problem we face is the fact that the citizens have not been properly involved, and we've allowed the politicians to take over Washington, D.C. Just look and see what's going on today, okay? And because of this, we are now facing the second American Revolution. And I truly believe the second American Revolution is underway as we speak. It's not the same. The method is not going to be the same. The technology is different. The situation is somewhat different than it was for the first revolution. But at the same time, we are being abused, the tyranny at the level. Those who are in public office today think they're royalty, think that they are the kings and queens and that we bow to them and this type of stuff. They've totally lost their way, and we need to set them straight. And I don't think we need to, draw blood for that. I don't think it's going to be – I don't think we need to do that. I think we can do this peacefully because that's what Americans are. And we can take it back. But we have to be prepared. We cannot let the people in office think we're going to give up our guns. The Second Amendment was not intended for duck hunting or deer hunting. That is not why we have a Second Amendment. It's to defend ourselves against an out-of-control government that becomes a police state and tries to take over the people. That's why we have a Second Amendment, people. You know, and it's, again, that's definitely not my mode of operation. That's not what I would choose to do, but that is why we have a Second Amendment, regardless of what nutcase Bob Costas out there says, which, by the way, I had already pretty much stopped watching the NFL. But for those of you who are still watching the NFL and they listen to that kind of nonsense, yeah, there was some kind of deal with a NFL player who shot his wife or girlfriend or whatever it was. I couldn't even tell you. And that was not a good thing, obviously. But that is not the reason you go and ban guns from everybody. And this is their mentality. Well, if you didn't have a gun, well, there would have been another method. It's called a knife. It would have called a choking, smothering the person, whatever. There's many ways to kill someone if you're so inclined to do so and you're determined to do so. So, but that's just Bob Costas. And he was on O'Reilly last night, and he did seem to – he never apologized for what he said, but he said he thought he could have used his message better to say that there was a problem in the NFL with this attitude that they all need to have guns or something silly like that. And he thinks he could have maybe stressed the issue a little bit differently or something. So he did kind of back off on some of it, but not apologizing and not totally taking it back. What's going on today? Today we're just going to talk about a variety of issues, focusing on the second American Revolution that's underway, how we can take back our country, what people are already doing to take back our country, and what we need to do about these morons that are in public office and those kind of things. And, of course, the first thing is to please stop reelecting the idiots. Let's see here. I have to start off by... Harry Reid. We all know that Harry Reid's an idiot. With everything that's going on with our country today, the fiscal cliff, as they call it, and you know, I happen to agree with Ron Paul. We've already gone off the fiscal cliff. It just depends on how we're going to land. But all these other issues, immigration that's going on, wars all over the place. I mean, there's so many issues to focus on. But what is Harry Reid focusing on? What is his big issue of the day? We need to waive the rule and allow food in the auditorium, in the congressional auditorium. I mean, this is no joke. This is how disgusting these people are. Okay, so you're going to Congress, your trip to Washington, D.C. to represent the people and do the people's business is so you can go watch a movie by the name of Lincoln, and you want to make sure you can have snacks while you do this, so you have to waive the rules that prohibit food in the auditorium. This is what you morons are doing today. And you want to know why the people are revolting against you. This is true. How disgusting is this? You know, Harry Reid is worried about eating snacks while he watches a movie in the Congressional Auditorium. First off, why are they watching movies in the Congressional Auditorium? They don't have to, you know, let them go to the movie theater or someplace else on their own time and their own dime, not be making we the people pay for them to go to movies and eat crap, you know. But that's what Harry Reid's focus is today. Then the other side, Senator Jim DeMint, he goes and resigns from the Senate. He's a Tea Partier, a true conservative of those that are in Washington, D.C., and he is resigning from the Senate. That speaks volumes of what's going on there. He feels he can be more effective when he goes to the Heritage Foundation and to lead a conservative group, because there's no conservatives in Washington, D.C. Just look at what Bonehead has been doing. Anybody who was a diehard conservative, Tea Party or conservative on the committees, he ousted. John Micah was limited. John Micah definitely wasn't one of those. And had it not been for the limits of how long they're supposed to be on the committee, the chair of the committee, John Micah would still be there. So Micah's not in that group. Micah's never been known as a conservative. He's a Republican, but he's not a conservative. But Bonehead has been out there cutting all the conservatives off of the chair. He doesn't want anybody to fight him. And that's probably part of the reason why Senator Jim DeMint's leaving. It's like, this is the idiots they got running the GOP in Washington, D.C., the so-called conservative side of the aisle. So he said, why be there? He's going to go to the Heritage Foundation and try to be more effective. He's taken the battle outside of the Beltway. And I thought that was interesting. And then we have the one thing I did notice, there was a statement out there, Club for Growth commented on Senator Jim DeMint and his resigning, and made the statement that Senator Jim DeMint had done more than anyone else in Congress in the past whatever years to move forward the cause for liberty. And I'm planning on responding to them, because anybody who's been paying attention at all knows that's not true. It was Ron Paul. Ron Paul's been doing it for 30 years. Senator Jim DeMint was there for 8 years. So that wasn't quite true. But I would definitely agree. Senator DeMint was definitely one of the Tea Partiers, one of those who actually took a stand on issues. Yeah, he followed the party line in some cases, but he definitely was not owned by the party line, not the way some are. So there's that. And then I've been seeing various issues on the victims of Storm Sandy, Sandy the Storm kind of thing. And then there was an article that came out today about how these people were, the workers, the responders, were told to go sightseeing instead of helping the people. And we've got this gentleman who's been out there on the air saying, we don't have a home to live in for Christmas. Mr. President, you're going to Hawaii for 20 days, we're on a vacation for 20 days, while we're here stuck with no place to live. And it's like, you know, didn't people think that? Didn't they realize that's what Obama was before they elected him? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think New Jersey went with Obama. It's like, yeah, Obama, he's all talk. He's all talk. He doesn't care about the poor people. Jeez, give me a break. And then there was one of the councilwomen on the Detroit council, I think it was Detroit, is going out there saying, we helped get you elected, now it's time to bring home the bacon. So she's telling Obama, hey, we helped get you elected, you better give us a bailout. This is a sick mentality out there. So, well, anyway, those are just some of the things that are going on out there. I'm going to get Charlie in here and see what he's got going on today. But it's just crazy. And whatever you want to talk about, just give us a call. It's 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. And make sure you press 1 to be placed in the host queue to speak on the air. On that note, let's see what Mr. Klein has to say today. Hey, Charlie, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine. You said something that triggered the word honesty in my thoughts.
Okay.
When our founding fathers, all, what is it, 56 of them, the founding fathers, 39 signers of the Constitution, 56 founders who helped develop the Constitution, 26 of the founders were ordained ministers. Of the 56 founding fathers, 52 were devout Christians or Judeo-Christian. 4 were atheists. So you had to take a look at all of our founding documents and also what the founding fathers wrote. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and you name it. They always referenced God Almighty, getting the power from God, getting our freedoms from God. Everything was related to God, and they studied the Bible, and they studied the Bible so much that it was in their vocabulary. And so when they developed our great country, they developed it with the intent of honest government, not the devil's government like we have today. But honest government. Not people like Boehner and anybody else who was in previously in the speaker's seat, or Harry Reid and any other previous majority leader in the Senate. Because recently we've been electing people who have turned more to the devil's way of life than to the Christian's way of life, the Judeo-Christian way of life, or God's way. And it is now coming back to haunt each and every one who has voted for this administration for the second term, and they are going to be wishing that they had studied politics, studied social studies more, or paid attention as to what's going on in Washington, in the state capitals, and in their local governments. When 7 people, like in Florida, Central Florida, vote to have a commuter rail in after the citizens voted against it 3 times, that's an overthrow of the sovereign government. That's an overthrow of your rights. In other words, they said, your right to vote is being negated by the 7 of us because you voted us into office. We voted Barack Obama into office. I mean, a little bit more than 50% voted for Obama to have a second term. Now he's putting his thumbs up at the other 50% of the people. He doesn't care about conservatives. He's going to do his liberal agenda. And he's going to try to force the conservatives to pay for the welfare and for the illegal aliens who are here in the United States illegally and in violation of the honest intent of our Constitution. But getting back to this honesty in government, you are now witnessing, I've been witnessing it for some time, the dishonesty, the lack of honesty in government. Where in the Constitution does it say that Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, can be the dictator of the Senate? It's not in the Constitution. Where does it say in the Constitution that John Boehner can be the dictator of the House of Representatives? Where in the Constitution does it say that the Democrat Party has control of the Senate, and the Republican Party has control of the House of Representatives? None of these are in the Constitution. It is just perceived by the people who vote Democrat and Republican that, oh, we get a majority in there, we control the House. We get a majority in there, we control the Senate. No, that's not the intent, the honest intent of the Constitution. That is not the honest intent of our founding fathers. The honest intent of the whole government of America was that we the people are the government. And we the people tell those we vote for, and that those we vote for make sure that they get in touch with us as to what we want them to do, not what special interests or their fellow elected officials want them to do. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives them the right to take away what we earn to give it to people who we don't even know about. Our money going overseas? Yes, we do have foreign trade. But where does it say that we are supposed to take care of the welfare situation of other countries? We're supposed to do work with them. Everything in their Constitution is based on the word honesty, integrity. And when we the people let 536 people plus their representatives and their friends who are in office tell us what we're going to do, you do not have a republic anymore. You have a dictatorship. Your congressman is your dictator. Your senator is your dictator, as are the mayors and the commissioners. They're all your dictators. They do what they want to do. Try talking to a congressman and getting him to listen to what we want to do. 9/12, we woke up a lot of people in Congress when we all marched on there, and 1.75 million people went to Washington. They have ignored us. They ignored us then, they ignore us now. Only those who were brave enough met us there and actually spoke. But they spoke, because they can't do anything by themselves. They need the others. And if we don't go to the offices and create scenes and demonstrations and sit-ins in our offices, nothing's going to change. Congress will go ahead and take away the wages of the senior citizens and Social Security, which they did during this last administration. That money has never been replaced. But Congress made sure that they found a way, or they think they found a way, to give themselves a cost of living adjustment. Let's call it a cost of lifestyle adjustment every year. They went ahead and voted themselves an automatic cost of lifestyle adjustment every year, which is in violation of the Constitution, which so states Congress shall receive a wage after an election has intervened, which means every 2 years they can get a raise. But it's an honesty. Nobody in Congress is worth $174,000. They aren't even worth $100,000 because they don't work for we the people. They campaign. Now let me tell you about honesty in the White House. If it costs the United Kingdom, Great Britain, approximately $58 million for the travel of the Queen of England, why does it cost $500 million for President Barack Obama and his family to fly around on vacations with Air Force One? It's been calculated, and it was on TV and on the radio today. $500 million, the most any president has ever spent going around. how much of that $500 million is going to be reimbursed back to the people by the Democrat Party for all of the campaigning with Air Force One. We have been led down the road by the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, the two illegal monopolies in America. And the citizens, the majority of the citizens, sit by their TV and they think everything is just perfect. Well, it isn't. And all it takes is for one rude awakening. When those who work finally turn around and say, I don't want any payroll deduction for my taxes. I'll pay every quarter. And then they send a check to the IRS and say, this is to cover the defense budget, this budget, and that budget. And they say, I'm not paying any more for welfare. Then those who really are in need of welfare, those who are physically challenged, they'll be getting hurt because of those who are dishonest and corrupt. That is the future of America, and that is what the people of America have voted for themselves. Corruption, dishonesty, and a total violation of the Constitution, and I don't think there's very many out there who are willing to put their best foot forward and their best thoughts forward and back any kind of a lawsuit because they're afraid their name will be known in Washington. Back to you, Sally. I've had it with the people of America. I'm fed up with a do-nothing citizenry who talk, and do nothing. Just like our talk shows. They talk, but they don't promote anything with the exception of one person, Glenn Beck. He is the only one who has ever had the guts to really take action. And, oh, what's the one, Jones, Alex Jones?
Oh, yeah.
And can you add anybody else to that, Sally?
No, I would say those are the two who really have been the most vocal and actually did something. They didn't just, hide behind a microphone on a radio show.
That's right.
Alex Jones was out there at Bilderberg. Glenn Beck, in his book for Agenda 21 now, is really getting it out there. He's been talking about Agenda 21 for years. And so,
he's really been pushing it the last couple of weeks now. And yeah. Did Karen ever get in touch with him? Has anybody sent Glenn Beck her name to get her on his show?
I don't know. I have not actually spoken to Karen in the last month since I saw her up in Tallahassee. But, we could definitely put her name out there. I would encourage everybody, send an email to Glenn Beck, Karen Schoen, to be a guest speaker, subject matter expert, if you will, on Agenda 21, and let them know what we're doing here in Florida. So, and true to what you said, Charlie, the majority of people, majority of Americans are just sitting out there worrying about watching a stupid football game or something, doing nothing, not focusing on what's happening to this country. But there is a small group of us out there, and that was true with the first revolution. It was a small group who truly took charge, took control, and then the others followed. If you just sat there and waited till they got, stomped on or whatever.
Right.
But that's the way this is going to go, too, if we're able to solve it. But, what my concern with what I see happening with Americans as a whole, and, we talked about this some on Monday's show, there's groups all over the place. And you have, Freedom Works, which is Glenn Beck. That's one of his favorites, Freedom Works. You had Dick Armey, who has resigned from them. He doesn't like the way they're doing stuff, whatever the case may be. I don't really know all the details. I just know that he's resigned. And during the campaign, while Matt Kibbe would be out there complaining about some of the things the GOP did, by and large, they were a GOP organization. They claimed to be nonpartisan, but the fact of the matter is they were a GOP PAC during the campaign. And look what they did. They elected the same idiots. Why is Boehner still there? Why is Bonehead, I should say, Boehner, Bonehead Boehner, why is he still even there? And now they're out there getting rid of all the conservative tea parties off of the committees. But, I mean, so Freedom Works was this big group, kind of got off track of what I was going with here, it was one of these large tea party groups. And like I said, Glenn Beck is a supporter of it, of them. But then they go and they do this other garbage. And then you get other Tea Party groups. We've seen it here in Central Florida. These different groups, they're conservatives, but then they rally behind the GOP. They refuse to say that they're Americans. Would you
right.
get out of this garbage with the parties? Be Americans. And
but
I'll tell
thing,
you, that's the, yeah, go ahead.
The thing that you and I have been harping about for the longest time is, and we have to get this lawsuit in, We the People versus the ballot box establishment. The establishment is the illegal monopoly of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. And we have the evidence to prove it in the legislatures of the state of Florida have developed it. They have actually formulated and finalized an illegal monopoly by law in the state of Florida, which is a violation of the constitutional rights of the people. This dates back to, I believe, 1974, which is 8 years after the 66 Watts riots. And I really believe that the formulation of this two-party system, where it's $10,440 to get on the ballot, was designed as a prejudicial, discriminatory bill to make sure that the Negroes at that time could not run for office because they couldn't afford it. I really believe that that is what it is, because we have a lot of people who are against any Negro, any black person from getting into office. And back then, the 1966 riots in California, it was just brought across here, but as I understand, in 74, they still had a lot of resentment for the black people in the South. And today, to this day, there are still some people who will not accept a black person as being a citizen of the United States because they have had it ingrained in their body so much. And there's so many people that are being persecuted because of the color of their skin by those whose skin color is actually that of a very low-class person. And that's just the way I believe. Our Democrat Party and our Republican Party have done just what President George Washington said in his farewell speech. They have successfully divided the country, promising to take care of those who don't want to work, and the other one promising the other people that, well, you keep working and we'll make sure that your money goes in the right place. And both of them are spending the money of the workers the way they want, how they want, where they want, and especially in their own pockets, because all of this campaigning that goes around, it comes right back around, because the taxpayers wind up paying for the campaigns through excessively high contracts with the special interests, just like Sunrail. It would be nice to go ahead and audit on it by an independent group of people who have nothing to do with the government in any way, shape, or form, to audit every expenditure of Sunrail and of the expenses done by not only the city of Orlando, but by the Orange County commissioners, to see just where it is, and especially Glenda Hood and the Orlando partners that developed this property with 650 homes, and sold the 650 homes that belonged to the taxpayers to Orlando Partners for $3.84 million. And then they wound up making a whopping profit on the whole complex of of over $30 million for Orlando Partners, screwing the hell out of the citizens. And I studied that when it happened, and I was just brand new here. I've only lived here 3 years, and I caught it. And the Orlando Sentinel caught it too, but they never pushed it far enough. The Orlando Sentinel printed everything about Orlando Partners and about the Pritzker family. But somehow, Orlando Sentinel failed to take it and do their civic duty, their patriot duty, and take, how would you say, the elected officials to court for violating the trust of the people, for failing to bring charges against our elected officials at that time, Glenda Hood and those people, for violation of their fiduciary duties. That a lot of them could be in prison or poor right now if the Orlando Sentinel had continued on its investigating deal of Orlando Partners and the Pritzker family. That's what's wrong with America. The media is now in bed with the elected officials. That is what happened in communist Russia. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you want communism? The ACLU, the media, and most of your elected officials are heading you in that direction. And if you don't wake up, get ready to start saluting and saying and having to respond to the nice little remark, "Let me see your papers, please." Because that's what happens in communist Russia. Back to you, Sally.
Okay. And to kind of go a little bit back, what I was talking about too was what people are doing. What I see is part of the problem, because again, we got these tea parties kind of scattered about, and we've seen how many locally get taken over by the GOP and the stuff, and it's just like, you know, you've totally missed the point of why you were there. If you're going to support one party over the other, you're part of the problem, kind of thing. And that's exactly, I mean, that's what Freedom Works did too, even though Freedom Works
party
would
politics.
Be out there. Yeah, politics, exactly. Playing
party
the silly
politics
game.
And, yep. I predicted that was going to happen a long time ago because I was with the Reform Party. And it was a great party when it was had its own agenda of honesty and integrity. And then Pat Buchanan came in there and imploded it to bring in his agenda, which was like the Republican agenda. And he was bringing stuff in there that the members didn't like. But he was able to take over each one because he did it in a sequential manner with the help of the Republican Party. And once the Republican Party took over in each state, that was the end of the Reform Party. But see, the biggest thing about the Republican and Democrat Party is the fact that they are an illegal monopoly, just like Microsoft was found to be. But all we have to do is get people who are willing to file a lawsuit and do something about it. And we've got the lawsuit, and it's in the website, AmericanStatesman.org. Click on the center banner when it says "We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment." Back to you. Now I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to put you on speaker.
No, keep going. This is good. This goes back, and what we talked about on Monday's show, We the People Congress. This is a little bit different organization. It's not a Tea Party per se, but it is a group of patriots. The problem we face today that I see, and as I see it, is that we've got these different groups, but then they, you know, because they want to change who's in office and whatever else, and so unfortunately too many Americans are so addicted to these two stupid parties that they think that's the only option there is, and they can't get out of the box. Talk about, you know, think out of the box routine. They can't think outside of the box of these two parties, so you end up with the same mess. And we have different groups that are doing different things all over the place, but nobody's coming together as one. And I mean, I'm not coming up with anything new. I mean, I'm definitely not the one who came up with "United we stand, divided we fall." That's what this is all coming down to, people. United we stand. Are we going to be united as Americans. And I'll tell you, speaking of that, let's see if I can find this thing I just got today. I was so
United
annoyed.
United We Stand. Let me interject
United
one
we
thing
stand.
That you mentioned. United
yeah,
We Stand was one of the main mottos of the Reform Party. Or Ross Perot. United We Stand. And then somebody switched it to United We Stand America. That's another one. But I will remember that that was a major political campaign, and it brought a lot of people together because United We Stand, Divided We Fall was one of the main campaign slogans back in the 90s.
True.
That's right.
It's true. And
okay, go ahead.
It's more, even more important today because not only between the political parties, you've got these different factions that try to divide us in other ways too, mostly I would say with this Hispanic Latino thing that's going on. And that was what I got this. I'm not sure why they sent this to me, but I got this fax. Latino Americans, who's who? Dear Latino professional. Then it goes into this thing about you have been considered for inclusion in the Latino Americans who's who forthcoming 2012 edition. This is our second attempt to recognize you as a leading Latino professional. Okay, again, I couldn't tell you why they sent this to me. I have never called myself a Latino. And anyway, so it's got this various information, and then he faxed it back to them. Well, I took the copy that came off my fax machine. I crossed out every time I saw the word Latino, and I said, I'm an American. I'm not, and then I attached a second page talking about what an American is and the American creed. And be Americans. Be united Americans. If we're not going to come together as united Americans, it is truly all over. We will end up, as I think Tom Pastore has said in the past, with a smaller country of Americans. The true Americans, and being an American means you come from any place, people. It doesn't matter. That's what being an American is. And it doesn't mean you were you had to be born on the continent of North America in the 48 states. That's not what being an American is. Being an American is means you can't. Your history is elsewhere. This is the melting pot. When you come into the melting pot, you become an American. If you want to be a South American, then be one. Don't call it Latino. Call it what it is, South American, if that's what you want to be. Mexican. Why say Hispanic? If you're going to say you're a Mexican, then you're a Mexican. You can't be both, though. It goes back to Roosevelt. No dual allegiance. You cannot have a loyalty to two countries. Pick one. If Mexico is more important to you, then go back to Mexico and honor your country. Be part of your country if that's what's so important to you. If you want to be in Germany, you want to be a German, then go back to Germany. It doesn't matter where. But if you want to be an American, be an American. And I truly do believe if we do not come together as united Americans, nothing but Americans, we don't survive. And I just, united we stand, divided we fall. I don't think it's rocket science. And anyway, so like I said, I had to send this thing back, and I just, like I say, scratched all over it. Be Americans. Stop with the Latino stuff. And I saw Rubio on, I think it was it Riley last night? He was on something last night. And he seemed to be staying away from saying Hispanic or Latino. Maybe it's finally getting through to these people in the GOP. I still hear a lot of them talk about Latinos and Hispanics and whatever. But, if the Republican Party had a brain, which I know they don't, they would be promoting being American. Where you are, where you came from, doesn't matter. You came here to America to be a success. You came to America for a limited government. You left whatever that other culture was to be an American. If you didn't leave the other culture to be an American, then go back. Go back where you want to, wherever you were. So, but the group we had on We had Bob Scholes and Judith Whitmore on the show on Monday, and they're with We the People Congress. And I do see this as something different. I see this as something that's really bringing people, trying to bring the forces together, bringing people from different groups together to form this nationwide network, because they, I mean, look at all the lawsuits they got going. And that's part of the reason why Charlie and I are very much leaning into getting involved with it. I'm going to try to be a county coordinator for them if I can, if I have the time, which is a trick question there. But the point is, they have people on staff who, legal experts on the Constitution. Chris Ann Hosh would be great to be participating with them and working with other constitutional scholars and bringing the people together to take action like this. This is much more in line with what you and I have been doing all along. Only now we've got this other group that's actually got the system, got the network in place, got the application, and has the staff of the constitutional attorneys and experts, and, you know. So I think this is a good thing. I think we've got, you know, seeing a little bit of that light at the end of the tunnel routine of a way to bring Americans together. But, you know, American patriots out there all over the place, if you insist on staying in the box in your own corner of the world and you don't come together as the mass, critical mass, I think is the way they were calling it, critical mass, if we don't come together as critical mass, we're not going to be effective. And, you know, Charlie and I know this all too well, because this lawsuit about the budget, three of us were on it. It's not dead yet. We're still, but the fact that it was only three of us, the media doesn't care. What does the media care about the Constitution or violations? You know, I mean, if we'd been there shooting somebody up, they might have come for the entertainment aspect of it. But since we're strictly doing fallen process. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
The media will care when they find out that freedom of the press is now no longer a part, because an executive order comes from the president. That if you do not say what I say, you will no longer be allowed to have freedom of the press. I mean, it could already be that way. We have to say this because it comes from the Congress and it comes from here. The media could be, how would you say, being programmed, like in communist Russia. The Politburo in Russia told the media what to say and to cover up what the Politburo was doing. Why is it that we have a cover-up of Benghazi by the media? Because somebody in the White House has failed to do the job that they were supposed to do, or they didn't do the job they were supposed to do, or they failed to make sure that the people were protected? Could it be that the media is now, how would you say, in collusion with the White House? Could very well be. Could very well be that the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, could be culpable for what happened in Benghazi. It could be that President Barack Obama is the one that is totally involved for failing to send protection when the ambassador wanted it some time ago. Or they failed to pull out when Great Britain pulled out. But why is it that it's being taking so long to, and it's like a cover-up? It didn't take them long to go after Richard Nixon for lying about the break-in of Watergate regarding the Democrat National Committee's headquarters, to just go, somebody broke in there just to go ahead and find out what the strategy was of the Democrat Party. And Richard Nixon knew about it, but thought it was nothing big, nothing was stolen, no harm done. So he said, no, I didn't know. Didn't pay any attention to it or whatever. But he wound up resigning because the Democrats went after him in the media. But now it's the media's number one man who's in question with Benghazi, and they don't even want to put it on the air for the people to see, especially before an election. That's an act of to overthrow the sovereign, because when the sovereign doesn't know what's going on, which is we the people, then that means that the media is in collusion with the President of the United States and his administration. And somebody in his administration has done something wrong. And how is it that this president can spend $500 million on vacations and the use of Air Force One in 4 years? And then he goes ahead and says it is unconscionable that President Bush, in 8 years, spent $4 trillion on the deficit. President Obama has already cost us $6 trillion in 4 years. And $500 million was on the use of Air Force One and his vacations. Nothing in the Constitution says that we the people have to pay for every vacation that the President of the United States takes. He's entitled to so many, but he's been vacationing ever since he's been in there at taxpayers' expense. And nobody's bringing it to the attention of the people. The campaign should have woke the people up. How did he travel all the time? At taxpayers' expense. Where's the proof that the Democrat Party paid for it? The citizens of this country seem to think that America can keep printing money out. When so much money is printed out, the dollar value goes down. And eventually, you're going to need a wheelbarrow to have enough money to go buy a loaf of bread from the grocery store. Because that's what the value of your money is going to be. Nothing. But, as I said, I've been through it. I was born during the Depression. Or 1935. Just when the Depression ended. But it was still rough because people were still digging out. Like the people in New Jersey. Still trying to get a leg up. And the government has money, but they give the money to people who don't work. People who are illegally here, the money goes to them. It doesn't go to the American citizen who has been hit by a hurricane. No, it has to go to people who will vote for them again. Special interest and that type of thing. Corruption is going to be the downfall of the American Republic. And ladies and gentlemen, when that happens, you will not have the freedoms you have. And then you could even wind up with Sharia law to where women's suffrage goes out the door. And I cannot understand how the women of this great country are willing to be subservient to the men. They were at the beginning of this country, but they no longer are. They fought for their rights, and they're getting them. But it's all up to you. As I said before, I'm 77. And whatever happens in the next 3 or 4 years, I'm going to do what I can to help restore honesty in this country. But those of you who are in your 20s, in college, in high school, 18, you had better wake up. Because it isn't like when I was 18, I went right into the Korean War. Now what do you have to face? You can't even get a decent job. Why? Because of regulations by the federal government against the manufacturers who then went ahead and shipped all of their companies overseas to start those countries out, just like America started out at 15, 20, and 30 cents an hour. That's what it was like when I was a kid. I worked for 35 cents an hour, then I went to 50 cents an hour at the age of 12. Isn't that wonderful? I started working at the airlines at $1.85 an hour, and that was in 1957. So, you're complaining about working at a fast food place? Well, find out from your elected officials why the businesses aren't coming back to America. And when they give you a big line, just say, is it because of regulations? Because that's what it is. regulations that cost too much to open up another business. It costs like $40,000 just to open up, for regulations, a restaurant. Before, it used to cost the equipment and a couple of $100, and you had all of your licenses, your health inspection, and everything else. But now, with all of the regulations and unions and everything else, you are paying for these fat cats to sit in expensive hotels on vacations, just like Congress goes on vacation. 108 days a year they work in Washington. 130 days they spend doing whatever they want, and you're still paying for it. Wake up or get a job, because those who are working are going to give up, and one of these days you won't have anything left. Because the government cannot print that kind of money. All right, Sally, back to you.
And you said a mouthful there, and it's so true. It's, you know, the people who do the work aren't going to keep working for those who just want to sit back and ride the easy train and expect to get $3,500 a month out of various, the true meaning of entitlement / welfare, which, you know, we need to go back and get rid of the stupid word entitlement. Because it's totally abused. Welfare is when you're getting public service to help you survive. Welfare. And I do not consider Social Security an entitlement. I paid for it.
That's right.
Getting back what I paid, that's not an entitlement. The nerve of these idiots to try to come after us who did the work and paid into this stuff while they keep giving themselves raises. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely disgusting. It really is. And, okay. I mean... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there was something on TV, too, about cutting back on this, with the fiscal cliff, how to avoid it and how to cut back on, what they say, the entitlements. They say, well, first of all, cut back on Congress's vacations. They're taking too many vacations, so cut back on that, make them work. They never said anything about cutting back on the president's vacations, but they should, because he doesn't deserve $500 million in 4 years. He should only be taking a two-week vacation or for that, because he's only a part-time employee. In fact, nobody in Congress deserves a retirement plan, past or present. But the Supreme Court, in their infinite stupidity, wants to go ahead and allow them to have it, because there's nothing in the Constitution that refers to a retirement plan. And if they were to put one in now, that would be after the fact of this complaint. So if somebody wants to go ahead and try to get all the states to agree to it, 75% or 37 states to agree to allowing elected officials to have a retirement plan, then that would be a direct result of this complaint, and therefore that would be a moot. But it takes a lot of people to fight for that. There's so many things you can stop in Congress if you want. Daniel Webster does not have the right to spend $100,000 to renovate an office. That should all be done within reason for all the Senate or all the congressmen. But no, he had to have a special thing done for his office. Now, if somebody was donating the money to it, then that's fine.
Well, not really. If he's paying for his own, it's okay, but not somebody donating money to him to do it.
Right. And then what is this thing about people making big donations to the president and then they get a job as an ambassador? That's bribery. That is a favor for a favor, and that is a bribe. And a bribe is a felony. Whatever happened to the Cornhusker thing? That's another felony. Nobody's ever taken action on that. Congress does not police their own.
Never.
Never. So the thing is, Sally, is with this group that we talked to on Monday, in our lawsuits, we're going to have to go for it. And we the people versus the ballot box, if there's people out there who haven't heard about it, I suggest you access AmericanStatesman.org, click on the homepage to the center banner when it reads, We the People versus the Ballot Box, copy it, and get behind it. And although we've got it set up for the state of Florida, which is the major problem because of $10,440 filing fee for Congress, you can still participate in it by signing a petition or letting us know with a letter that you agree with what we're doing. And getting behind us when we decide, when we finally have to start paying money for doing it, because we should be able to do a class action suit if we get enough people to sign on that they want to file the case. But three people cannot get the media behind us. A couple of hundred people, and the media will wake up. So it's your country. Sit on your butt and watch the sitcoms and the football games. But when you're through watching that, then get busy and start doing something for this country, or else you're not going to have sitcoms and football games later on, because they can change that too. All right, Sally.
Well, and again, you're hitting all the marks. It's people have got to get engaged. And I'm not, you know, at the beginning you said you were totally frustrated with the complacency of Americans. And I totally agree. We've got way too many who aren't doing enough. Too many sitting on the sidelines complaining. And it's like, you know, when I start hearing people complain about various issues, I said, well, what have you done to try and change it? What are you doing? What group are you working with? How are you doing? And they said, oh, yeah, you can't change it. I said, well, then shut up. I mean, no sense whining about it if you're not going to do anything. It's
right.
It's coming together as a united people to make a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, and that's what it all comes down to. And, you know, Americans used to be all about working, but we've changed the culture. And this all goes down to this one world order, this Agenda 21 stuff, this brainwashing that's been done to say it's all about doing as little as possible and getting someone else to pay for you. And then you think about those who get into public office. I mean, that's kind of what they do, too, in the sense that they get there, then they are bought and paid for by whoever is their special interest, and they do nothing for the people, absolutely nothing. Well, something that I just read on one of the emails that came through, and I got to kind of share this because I was talking about Jim DeMint, Senator DeMint, who was resigning from the Senate as of January. So an email came through, said, apparently he was on Rush Limbaugh today, or Limbaugh. I didn't listen to Rush. But he said something on that show that he was a good friend of Harry Reid's. That's kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, you can respect the fact that somebody has a different point of view and kind of thing, and as a civilized society, we're supposed to respect different points of view. But how can DeMint say he's a good friend of this guy who was sitting there worrying about passing a rule, getting a waiver to allow food to watch a movie? With everything that's going on, how can you be close friends and buds with this person doing this kind of craziness? And then I heard something else. I think I heard it on Cavuto today. It was something about they passed a law banning the word lunatic in D.C. Something about can't use the word lunatic. These are what the lunatics are doing.
Well, guess what?
These people, yeah, go ahead.
Guess what? They can ban a word lunatic if they want. However, if I want to use the word lunatic because it was in the dictionary, I'm going to go ahead and use it. I mean, you can go ahead and put anything you want in writing as a lawmaker, but that doesn't mean you can deprive me of the word using that word. That would be unconstitutional. That would be an infringement of my First Amendment free speech rights. If I want to say Congress has a bunch of lunatics in it, that's my right to say that. They have no right. To take a word out of the dictionary. You watch. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be somebody filing a lawsuit against that.
And somehow it came back to, and maybe this is more to do with what they do, the language they use in the bills or something. I'm not sure, because there was some reference about in the past they banned the use of the word retarded. So maybe this is more to do with their legislation. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But they did actually ban the word lunatic. And it's like, of all places to, they're almost everybody in Washington, D.C. is a lunatic. I mean, these people who are in public office, that the elected idiots we have up there, they are lunatics. They're worried about watching a movie.
Okay, well, they want to ban the word corruption.
Yeah.
we are not corrupt. They're going to say we are not thieves. We are not there. They're going to do all kinds of stuff to ban all kinds of words that says we can't call our own congressmen what they truly are. Dishonest, dirty, rotten, low-class, unpatriotic scumbags. And I left out a few words. I left out the word lunatic. I left out the word, what is it, retarded or anything like that. So, yeah.
They are.
Right. But see, the word retarded is something that is, how would you say, has been replaced with something that is more friendly to the thing, because a lot of people are not retarded. They are physically challenged as caused by the birth defect or something.
Well, mental disability. They say a person with mental disability versus, or a learning disability versus being mentally retarded.
Well, yeah, well, my niece claims that no, people are not really mentally retarded, only they are physically challenged, because it all usually comes down to the physical aspects that cause something for them to be in that condition. So it's not really a retardation.
Well,
it is actually something physical, like a Down syndrome could be considered physically challenged, because it was something that happened in birth.
Well, but I would say that there's physical disabilities and mental disabilities. There could be something that was not right with the child's brain and the formation, and they cannot learn beyond a sixth grade level. So that's
right.
A mental disability kind of thing. So mental disability and physical disabilities, and obviously there's definitely times when it's truly a mental illness or disability that prevents the physical parts from working correctly, too, as far as nerves and everything else. If stuff's not going right in the brain, it doesn't send the message through to the body to do what it's supposed to do and whatever else. So, but both. I mean, mental disability.
Well, yeah. But being a lunatic is actually being a person of that is loony, as caused by the moon or caused by their own incapable attitude of doing what is right and just. So they become lunatics on their own. It is not a, it is not a physical or mental situation that is of a permanence. It is something based on greed, dishonesty, corruption, and all that type of thing. And, I can get away with this, so I'm going to do it. So they become lunatics.
Yep, evil doers, evil loonies.
Uh-huh.
And I do know a few loonies myself who are try to play the game any which way to try to rip off somebody else. And and you know exactly what I'm talking about, but I won't say. I won't go into details about those evildoers. But you know what I'm talking about. But we've got so many of them in public office, we don't need to talk about anybody else. But it's really the culture, the decline of the culture, which goes back to, again, what Washington said. You have to have a moral being. If the people are not moral and religious and have some core values, then you will never survive as a free society. The free society only survives if people have values, and we don't have any anymore. It's been, you know, go ahead.
50%, at least almost 50% of the people have very little or no values because they're on welfare. But they are those who are on welfare because of physical or mental capabilities or, you know, whatever. I mean, accidents or something like this that cause them to be on welfare. Those are the ones that I do believe have moral standards. But it's those who come over here and they find out how to play the scheme, and instead of working, they want the citizens to pay for their way, and they always think it comes from the elected officials, where it doesn't. It does not come from Obama. It did not come from George Bush. And it definitely does not come from the members of Congress or the state governors or the state legislators. It comes from the guys, the men and women working and paying taxes. That is where it comes from. And it's time that we start telling people that you get paid for welfare recipients receive the money from the working taxpayers. That would be a nice sign to put on a truck. Taxpayers' dollars pay for welfare recipients. Or no, it's welfare recipients steal money from the citizens, from the working citizens. That's what we should put.
Bottom feeders.
Bottom.
The leeches and the bottom feeders who think that the world owes them a living and that they shouldn't have to do anything and that they're a place on this planet to figure a way to be non-productive and to rip off the rest of us who actually do something. But again, I think it comes back to it's not the role of the federal government to provide welfare. It should be at the state level in the various communities. You do what you can in your own community. You can do it either through the churches or if, in fact, the people vote, say, yes, we want to have a fund to help these people. Yes, we'll, you know, we put so much money in, but then you control it at a local level so that when you see people abusing it and ripping it off, you have a way to go after it. Because nothing ever happens at the federal level on this stuff. Nothing.
They give them the EBT card is an open credit card to continue to get food stamps without any kind of audit or check. They don't even check on them every month or anything like that. But if they did it the right way, like through a church, then the church would turn around and say, well, what did you do for trying to get a job? Do you work anywhere? And because a person lives near the church, they'll know if that person is working. They'll know if that person is smoking, drinking, or whatever. Because welfare should not be or allow for any drinking, smoking, or drugging.
But and a church wouldn't even give any kind of card out. The church would have some kind of a food program there, open their kitchen in the morning or something to give people who need it, who, you know, a meal once a day, you know what, those kind of things, and then have people who help through the church to find people jobs and things like that. So you provide a service that way. It's not a matter of handing money out to people. It's a matter of helping. And, you know, if a family has become, you know, because of the economy, out of work and they don't have a home, whatever, then again, the church or whatever, it doesn't have to be a church, but whatever that community center is that brings people together and says, here, come here, we're going to try to help you find something, and you know what, here, you're going to be able to stay here while you find a job. You're not going to be able to stay there forever, and if you elect to stay home and watch TV all day, that's not going to fly, but you have another means to do that and just totally get the government out of it. It's a matter of helping people survive, not a matter of just writing a blank check for people who don't want to do anything. And that's what we do today. We write a blank check. And for those who are truly, you know, as you said, the physical disabilities, mental disabilities, who can't do anything in this society or can do very little or minimal, I mean, that's what Goodwill was about. Goodwill took people who with disabilities and got them in something that they could work at and could do and be productive at. So Goodwill and that type of thing, there's other ways to do it, but the federal government needs to be totally out of it. The federal government doesn't have a role in it. And we should all control it at our state and local levels. State sovereignty, what a concept.
Well, it looks like some states are working towards that way, but I don't know about Governor Scott. Mm-hmm. I think he's got his brain. I think he's suffering from that dreaded disease of RBS, cranial rectal inversion. You know, it can be temporary at times, you know.
Well, Governor Rick Scott took 200 people traveling down to South America to Colombia to on a mission to bring jobs back to Florida. That's another one, you know.
Apparently they're going to Colombia. They're probably going down there to buy drugs to bring it back so they can have drug stores.
Hey, I have no doubt with 200 of them going down there, I have no doubt some of them are bringing some back. Whether it be the governor or not, who knows, but I'd be willing to bet there's a few who are going to be packing it when they come back, and they have their additional source of income, too. But can you imagine? 200 going down there, and these are people at the state agencies, local. Teresa Jacobs probably went to Mayor Jacobs because she doesn't want to spend too much time doing anything here in Orange County when she can travel about. And I mean, it's the biggest bunch of BS that they have to go to Columbia to bring jobs to Florida. That's just garbage. It's just a way for them to travel and waste our money. And if they want to pay their own ways, and let them pay totally their own cost, and they can go down there. But don't use tax dollars to do it.
They need to make sure that they have all kinds of dogs, drug dogs, at the airport when they come in through customs to make damn sure that, you know, nobody's packing any. Because can you imagine if one person has like a kilo, that means the whole plane could be put in lockdown.
But that's the whole point. Because they're going to be on this public mission, if you will, business trip for the governor, whatever else, you know, they're not going to go through any of that customs stuff. They won't do that.
You can make them. Tell the DEA.
But I'm saying the system's so corrupt, they'll just bypass it. Do you truly think they're going to go through customs?
Well, the DEA doesn't care about customs. They can turn around and just have the dogs there in the claim area.
Well, hey, I think actually that'd be a good idea tomorrow. Call DEA and ask them if they're going to be there to monitor what they bring back from Columbia.
When are they due back?
I really don't know. I'd have to go out there and look. I just know it was yesterday. Well, excuse me, I shouldn't say yesterday. It was Monday when he was going down there because the thing had just come out. And they said it was his sixth foreign trip since he'd been in office and what a waste it was. And a lot of people were outraged about it. And then there was the thing about the 200 people. So I saw it on Monday. I don't know exactly what day. I mean, he could be down there now for all I know. But, I mean, the stupidity. And this is the other part that gets me. When it comes to all this crap, the government trying to create the jobs routine, all you have, your state and your local governments should have the policy that they think is the best for the climate, for the environment there, to say, here's what we offer, come here. If you do it, if you set it up that way, instead of going out there and giving handouts to Darden restaurants or CSX or all these other, you know, all the political garbage, which is all it is, it's political gaming. They don't have to spend all this money, and they say, Florida's the best place, Texas is the best place, whatever it is, to do your business because we don't have a state income tax, we're lower on regs, well, of course, that's not true, and while we may not have a state income tax, we have so many other stupid taxes that you get taxed to death anyway. Florida's not truly as low tax as people think, and that kind of stuff, but you would make an environment that was friendly to all, including small businesses, not go out there gaming the system trying to bribe the business to come there. So tell Columbia to stay home.
Well, that's the thing I think we ought to do is somebody call the DEA and tell them we'd like them to check. We consider all of these elected officials could be suspect to bringing back drugs.
Yeah, and they're not all elected because you have state agency representatives, people from the different
I'm
agencies.
Saying, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
What I'm just interest. Saying is it'd be nice to get a few people to call the DEA and say, okay, we want you to make sure you're on the arrival of the plane with Governor Scott and all these dignitaries that went down to Columbia because who knows, maybe some of them are bringing back some drugs to go into business with.
Yeah,
we suspect
maybe.
Them. We suspect them, and since they're doing this against our will, what other reason would they have? Because we don't want them developing a drug business here in Florida.
Yeah, Rick Scott is going down there making his investment because he plans on trying to pass marijuana for medical purposes or whatever, so he's trying to get his taco.
Probably cocaine.
Slider.
Cocaine or something like that for medical reasons, yeah.
Well, it's marijuana that they're actually pushing. That's what Colorado just passed, and that's what California's had for a while. Medical marijuana.
Columbia is noted for cocaine, so that would probably be the most popular thing to try to get going here.
I openly admit I'm definitely not an expert on the drug.
Me neither. I am not either, but I've heard so much about it that, you know, it's like all that movies and all that with Harrison Ford and that type of thing. So.
Well, plus you were in the airline business, so I think you probably saw a little bit more of that too.
Well, I noticed it too when people were caught in Miami and all that, and they broke them down that, you know, not only on different airlines, and it was basically associated with something coming from Colombia.
Okay. Well, who knows? All I know is it's absolutely an outrage for Scott to be going down there, 200 people be going down there, the taxpayers are paying the majority of this. Now, some of the executives who are going down there, that's all smooth, you know, the whining,
right,
dining, schmoozing with the political entities to scam the system against us. The whole thing is just, it's just another scam. Talk about no sunshine, you know, let the sunshine in. Well, I don't think there's going to be any sunshine down in Columbia for the games they'll be playing on that stuff. And I haven't heard that Mayor Jacobs or Dyer, Orlando Mayor Dyer, Buddy Dyer, or Orange County Mayor Teresa Jacobs, I haven't heard of them going there, but I would find it very hard to believe at least one of them didn't go.
Yeah, right.
Out there, city, because that's what they like to spend their money, their time. They don't want to do the job of the people. Just like Obama. I mean, 20 days in Hawaii right now?
Yeah, while they're working on fiscal cliff, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's leaving. No, he's leaving all the work.
Yeah.
He is a president in name only. That's all he is, president in name only. All of his administration and the people that put him in, helped put him in office, like maybe George Soros, they're doing all the deciding and making the decisions, and all he's doing is signing his name. In fact, Obamacare was not written by the members of Congress. It was written by Apollo and other organizations, and therefore Obamacare is null and void and is totally moot because all bills must originate in the House of House of Representatives. And
right,
it is Congress's duty to write the bill, not outsiders. It is not up to the doctors to write the bill. It is not up to special interest to write the bill. It is up to the representatives of the people to write the bills. So all that 2,700 pages written by people we don't know about is actually a violation of the Constitution. If you read the Constitution, it says right in there, Congress, all bills will be originate in the House of Representatives.
Exactly. Not even
Obamacare. Obamacare did not originate in the House of Representatives. It originated in organizations outside of the House of Representatives. Then it was brought in. And therefore, they never read the bill, according to Nancy Pelosi. So therefore, she has admitted that she's in violation of the Constitution. And let's see. I don't have a Constitution real handy with me, but I will look on it and have it, that information for you on Monday, unless I see it in this one here real quick, because it says, okay, go ahead and talk.
Okay. Well, and when you're finished with that, the other thing I was going to ask you about, and maybe I didn't get to watch a whole lot of the news during the day because I work during the day, but this thing with Syria, what's this guy getting ready to do, chemical genocide of his own people or something? What's going on with that, or do you know anything?
They had some gas that was shipped in or something like that, Siren or whatever that gas is, sarin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a life expectancy of so much that it's got to be destroyed. Okay, hold on. All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose. Okay. Okay. Okay, here we go on the Senate. The senators and representatives shall receive a compensation for their services to be ascertained by law and paid out of the Treasury of the United States. They shall, in all cases except treason, felony, or breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the sessions of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same. And for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. Okay.
And I mean, we've never said that they should be charged for the fact they vote differently than what you may have wanted them to be.
No, we never said that in our lawsuit either.
No, that isn't what the issue is at all. Because,
no.
You know, you have to have proved direct bribery that they voted specifically yay or nay to something. kind of thing. So it's not the vote, and we agree with that part. It's the other things they do, just like the collusion of John Micah with CSX and everything else. So it's all the other stuff that they do. And, of course, the obvious collusion of the ballot box with the state offices and things like that and the political parties. And then when they don't read the bill routine, come on, you know. They don't have a clue what the Constitution is. Now, let's see, what was the other thing out here? Talking about the $500 million for Air Force One. Can you think of all the various communities, the various things that could have been done with $500 million? And I mean,
what,
you know,
did
I
do
expect
with
that
$500 million. Yeah. Where did he go that was so important for him to go on Air Force One? Now, President Bush never took that many vacations, as far as I know. He went down to his ranch in Crawley, Texas.
Crawford, Texas, yeah.
For Texas, and he stayed there, and he worked out of that place. But this president goes all over, and you don't hear him working on anything except going golfing in that. He's done more golfing dates than any of the presidents put together. But $500 million for going on vacations? And where is it then in the Constitution that we the people pay for the vacation for his children, unescorted to Mexico? There's nothing in the Constitution that says it. Our Congress is letting this president, because he is a Negro or black, get away with stuff that the average American white person would never get away with. They are afraid to take action because they're afraid to be called racist. They are not racist if they are upholding the Constitution. And if he is in violation of the Constitution, then they are actually in violation of the Constitution for failing to take action against him and stop him. And that means Boehner and Reid, both of them. Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
But of course,
here's
here again,
this
is
like
Fox.
Too. The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall be on the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. A different day. Now, where is there an amendment that says they will work so many days a year? There's no amendment. So each Congress is in a violation of Section 4 of Article 1.
Well, it was never supposed to be a full-time job. It was supposed to be part-time. They go once a year, if there's other events, you know, emergency sessions, whatever. And they go there and they strictly take care of the people's business. Come up with a budget, take care of the basic appropriations, go home and do their real job. They were never supposed to be career politicians. That's why Jefferson was so into term limits. He was afraid that this kind of craziness would happen.
Yeah, but I'm just saying is there it is right there, Section 4. They're in violation of it. And, you know, two wrongs don't make a right is what a judge will tell you. So now we've got so many years of wrongs, especially the last 60 years, that we need to go ahead and push that. Because there's no amendment that changes that.
Right.
Okay.
Right, exactly. But again, I mean, they totally miss what the whole point of what they're supposed to be doing. They're there to go in and create garbage that we don't need. That's what the federal government is so oversized. It's way beyond what it's ever supposed to be. And that's why we have the mess we have. And like you say, they're printing, because of the Federal Reserve, that needs to go away. They print money out of thin air. The value of the dollar is going down. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's all because people have sat on the sidelines too long. But, you know, people are getting involved. That's why now the government is scrambling to figure every which way it can to trace and track everything we do via telephones, via internet communication, and any electronic technology that helps people get past the stupid media so that we can communicate with each other. They're trying to shut that down and, of course, trying to get the guns out of people's hands because they know what they're doing is wrong. There's a revolution happening. I mean, I truly do believe the second American Revolution is underway right now. The question is, will people unite enough to get the job done? If everybody is out there worrying about getting the credit or being in charge of their Tea Party group or all this other nonsense, then we just shoot ourselves in the foot. We're defeating our own effort, and it really goes back to what Bob was saying on Monday. critical mass. Critical mass is 3 to 5% of the people. We don't have, and so, critical mass means enough people come together on the issue and go after them. And we know that worked when we did it with the immigration. We literally brought down the telephone system in Washington, D.C., down to its knees.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were engaged. And I'm telling you, I really wish we could get enough people to say, okay, we're going to march on Washington, D.C., we're going to surround that Capitol building, and the people who do not honor the Constitution are all going to be removed from office.
And we need to do that when they are in session.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say.
We do that when they are in session, and we march on it. We let them know we're coming, and if they disappear while we're when they should be in session, if they call a adjournment or something so they can get out of town,
mm-hmm.
we go and we go to another place. Okay, I got to go.
Okay.
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 All right.
Well, you have
talk
a good evening,
later.
Shirley, and talk to you on Monday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, it's about 25 after right now, and we're probably going to, this show is probably going to drop a little bit early today anyway, because as it turns out, I have to go back to work tonight. So, what else do we want to talk about? Let me check my notes here and see. Oh, there was the other thing, which unfortunately Charlie dropped off. I wanted to ask him about this. And I posted it in the chat room. The General Wesley Clark, this was a YouTube out there for 2007, and it's called Reveals U.S. Plan to Invade Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iraq. Now, doesn't that sound awfully familiar to what's happened? How close are we to what he said? Plan to invade Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iraq. Sounds, and this was the U.S. government, U.S. plan to invade. That is so disturbing. And, you know, we keep going out there playing all these games, trying to take over the world, and we're the ones that are losing all our rights. Which, if we would just build a strong America, believe in the rights we believe in, promote freedom, promote liberty, promote the rights of the individual, promote the rights to own property, and promote moral values, the others will come on their own. And this goes again back to what Washington said, and Jefferson too. It is not our role to go out there and do nation building. It's not our role to try to tell others how to live. It is definitely the role of the federal government to protect and defend the homeland. They should be the masters of national defense. The states have the right to have the state militias too, to protect themselves against the national federal government. That's what, if you study what the Constitution is, study how this whole thing was set up, it was all to protect the rights of the individual and the state sovereignty. It was never intended to have this massive, massive federal government the way it is today. It's totally out of control. The federal government's killing us. They're surrendering our rights to the United Nations. And it's time for the revolution. The second revolution's underway. How successful we're going to be is going to be the question. And let's see, I had a couple of things out here. Just because of the various groups, kind of going back to what Charlie was talking about, the frustration of so many people being so complacent. And, I mean, you don't have to go far. You go out there today and people will be fussing about this and fussing about that, but yet when you ask them, what are you doing to make a difference? Oh, you can't fight the system. I can't. Well, you definitely have those people out there, the sheeple, who just do as they're told by the federal government, regardless of how wrong or unconstitutional it is. But then you do have the group of us that are out there actively engaged in the process, coming together, uniting as Americans, and nothing but Americans, uniting as Americans to protect and defend the Constitution and the country. So we do have stuff happening. We'll see what all happens with Senator Jim DeMint resigning from the U.S. Senate because he feels like he can't get anything done there. You have Bonehead Boehner who's getting rid of all the conservatives, which is a proof. The Republican Party isn't conservative people. It's no more conservative than what the Democrats are. It's one big party. They brainwash you into thinking something else. Stop voting for the stupid parties. Anyway, and Jim DeMint is leaving. We'll see how he does at the Heritage Foundation. It's going to be very interesting to see what angle, what approach he takes there. And then Americans continue to demand states' rights, restoration of states' rights. We were doing that right here in Florida. We had an e-rally on Monday and Tuesday, letting them know it's the states' rights to reject the state exchange for Obamacare. If the states do not participate, do not create the state exchanges, it's going to bring Obamacare to its knees. The federal government is not prepared to handle that. That's why it's so critical for those who claim, those whatever party they're in, claim to be anti-Obamacare. At the state level, if you are not blocking the state exchange, then you're a hypocrite. You're a two-faced, backstabbing hypocrite. And you don't believe in state sovereignty. And then Americans across this country are learning more and more about Agenda 21. Agenda 21, you know, Glenn Beck, I'm glad he got his book out there about Agenda 21 to start sharing the information about that, because it is critical for – he's been talking about it. A bunch of us have been talking about this for years, Agenda 21. It was Eisenhower who first mentioned it. He was calling it the military-industrial complex. And Ron Paul even makes reference to that from time to time. But it's all part of this global initiative, and it was George Bush Sr. who signed the Rio Doctrines back in 92 that got us for a new world order. And you can go out there and find the video of President George Bush Sr., a new world order. The Bushes have always been one world government, new world order. George Bush Jr., he was the one who did the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America to make us one union, the North American Union. But after the collapse of the European Union and the various things happening there and all the outrage and opposition to amnesty, excuse me, not a whole lot has been done with it. That was an executive order that George Bush Jr. did. He signed an executive order to dissolve the borders between the United States and Canada and the United States and Mexico. The arrogance of that president, the arrogance of how they have taken over what the executive order is supposed to be and become kings. They're dictators. They're not presidents. They're not representatives. They're not doing the people's business as the leader of the free world. They're doing everything they can to convert us. But as Americans are learning more and more about what Agenda 21 really is, sustainable development, it sounds wonderful. And I'm all for protecting the environment, you know, respecting the climate and not destroying it. That's what we should all do. We should all be good stewards of the environment and the planet. Excuse me, our future depends on it. But when they say sustainable development, that means you do not have the right to own your own personal property. Americans, think about this. You do not have the right through Agenda 21, United Nations, One World Order, New World Government, whatever. You do not have the right to own a home. You do not have the right to own a car. And by the way, Florida, not just Florida, but I'm going to say Florida, Texas, it is not sustainable to have air conditioning. Air conditioning is not part of sustainable development, and the United Nations says, no, you're not allowed to have it. So just imagine turning off all those air conditioners. Agenda 21 says you're not allowed to do this. It's the United Nations, who is the one world government, who's going to dictate to the Americans how they live, who's going to redistribute the wealth of America to all the third world countries. So what we have fought for, worked for, and everything else, they're saying, nope, you're not entitled to that. That's not sustainable. We're going to take your wealth and give it to somebody else. That's what Agenda 21 is. It's disgusting. It's anti-American. And you've got a bunch of lunatics, morons, whatever you want to call it. Charlie went down his list of morons that are in Washington, D.C., signing away our rights, and locally, too. Excuse me. This is throughout, it's a cancer. It is the biggest cancer throughout this whole society. The things that they are doing, which is destroying the currency, what the Federal Reserve is doing is all part of it. Federal Reserve is all to do with this International Monetary Fund, and it's, again, taking it all down to a centralized government, a central bank that controls the people. Freedom isn't free, and Americans better wake up and remember that. Freedom is not free. The other thing that Americans are out there doing, and again, this kind of goes back to the state restoration of states' rights, Americans are demanding that states reject the unconstitutional mandates of Obamacare. We have the right as sovereign states to not do this. That's all there is to it. We have the right. And if Americans are not willing to defend their rights, they will lose them. Giving up freedom for security, you will have neither. That's the same thing. And then the other, I have to say, when we talk about Americans coming together, I go back to what President Theodore Roosevelt said. We can have no 50-50 allegiance in this country. If you're an American, you're nothing but an American. And his exact quote is, either a man is an American and nothing else, or he is not an American at all. Marco Rubio, do you hear that? Not just Rubio, but for anybody who's out there calling themselves a Latino, a Cuban-American, a Mexican-American, a Canadian-American, a German-American, whatever. No dual allegiance. If you've got a dual allegiance, then you're not an American. American means you're here for America, period. Be an American. If you don't want to be an American, go back wherever you came from. Rubio, hey, I'll be the first one to set up a fund to help you get your one-way ticket back to Cuba if that's what you want to be. If being a Cuban is more important to you than being an American, go back to Cuba. Otherwise, be an American. Rubio, unite the people. Stand up for the Constitution. Stop doing all this other garbage that is destroying this, the Constitution, dividing the people. And that goes for you, the Republican Party, and, of course, the Democrats. The Democrats love to play the game. Same is true with African Americans. Guess what? I don't care what color you are. Are you an American? Yeah, I mean, you could be an African American and be white, too, even though it's automatically associated that you're going to be black. You can be from Haiti and not and be white, even though most Haitians are black. I don't care what color you are. It's what are you here for? Go back to being a Muslim. If you are a Muslim, can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? No. I think it's the ultimate example of you can't have a 50-50 allegiance. Muslims do not believe as Americans do. Muslims believe in Sharia. They believe in stoning women to death. They believe in a variety of honor deaths, as they call them. That is not the American way. So you can't be true to your faith and be a Muslim and be an American at the same time. It's just not what it is. Absolutely not what it is. And let's see, what else? Well, I think I'm going to wrap up. It's cut off here a little bit early tonight. Like I say, I've actually got to go back to work tonight. But I am going to go through and I'm going to read the American's Creed, because I just think it's so important and it's so critical today. I've almost got it memorized, but haven't got it totally memorized. Think about the meaning of being an American. And interestingly enough, during the week, somebody came back, sent me an email. They were all upset over the American's Creed because it said, it used the word democracy in it. And they were just, we're not a democracy. There's no way. Democracy is not in the Constitution. That isn't what it means, people. It talks about the fact that it's the government is controlled by the governed, by the people. That's the way that's the interpretation of the democracy, not mob rule. Yes, we have a representative government, but those people are to represent the people. They are governed. We are the government. The people are the government. And not a monarchy. So anyway, the American's Creed, which is by William Tyler Page, was written in 1917 and accepted by the United States House of Representatives in April 3rd of 1918. inheritance. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy in a republic. A sovereign nation of many sovereign states. A perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. To me, that is the American's creed. And for somebody to be concerned because they saw that word democracy, a democracy in a republic, it means we the people are the government. Not that we have mob rule. Not that every, and there are, we have referendums. People vote on referendums and things get passed based on the majority of the people. But we do have, and that's again why it says, a democracy in a republic. So the person who was so upset over that, I sent them some information, and I haven't heard back from them, so I'm hoping that they understood what it meant. They were getting way too excited over the word democracy. The American's creed, I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of sovereign, of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. I totally agree with it. This is what it is. This is what we are supposed to be. Is, you know, principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrifice their lives and fortunes. That's what it is. We are sovereign states. Sovereign states within a sovereign nation. There's a compact between the state and the federal government. Compact being similar to a contract. The compact. We will be part of your union. We will be one of the United States. However, we maintain sovereign rights to control and do as we see. The Constitution is the big umbrella in which we follow certain rules to be within that union. That's the Constitution. Not the Constitution did not have a Department of Education, did not have the Department of EPA, did not have all these kind of nutsy things. That is not what the Constitution was for. So remember what we are supposed to be as Americans. Yes, second revolution is underway as we speak. Will the American people, Americans and nothing but Americans, will the American people come together as one united people, like we did to begin with, and restore the Constitution? Restore what it is to be an American. And when we talk about being an American, I'll go ahead, got a couple minutes here, I'll still go ahead and read a couple things here from President Theodore Roosevelt. Be an American and nothing but an American. We can have no 50-50 allegiance in this country. Either a man is an American and nothing else, or he's not an American at all. In the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else. For it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated upon the man's becoming, in fact, an American and nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he is an American but something else isn't an American at all. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. And this excludes the red flag, which symbolizes all wars against liberty and civilization, just as much as it excludes any foreign flag of a nation to which we are hostile. We have room for but one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room for but one sole loyalty, and that is the loyalty to the American people. And this was his letter to the American Defense Society in 1919. Excuse me. Then the other part, every American who comes here should be required within 5 years to learn English or leave the country. He said in a statement to the Kansas City Star in 1918. English should be the only language taught or used in public schools. We can have no 50-50 allegiance in this country. Either a man is an American and nothing else, or he is not an American at all. And that is really what it all comes down to. Be an American. We don't care where you came from. Be an American. If you choose to be a Mexican, that means you truly don't want to be an American and you want to take over this country and you're evading this country. If you want to be a Cuban and you don't want to be part of this country, you don't want to be an American, you're here to invade. If you want to be a Muslim, not an American, you are here to cause harm to this country. If you truly believe in this country, you will be an American and you will assimilate and you will speak English. And people say about the English, they act like it's so arrogant to say English. No, it isn't. English unites us as a people. Do you not understand language is critical in order for people to be united? You cannot be united if you can't communicate and understand each other. There has to be a common language. And the fact of the matter is the Constitution was written in English. It was not written in any other language. So on that note, please be Americans. I am an American and nothing else but an American. My loyalty is to America. And that's why I'm out here fighting the second American Revolution, doing what I can to play my part to preserve and restore and preserve this country, restore the Constitution and preserve the country for future generations. And on that note, I'm going to wrap it up. We will talk again on Monday. Lord only knows what will happen between now and Monday. Please stay tuned. Please get involved. Please be Americans. As a united people, as Americans, as a united people, they cannot take us down. We have the power to shut down the United Nations as a united people. That's what it's about. And I'm asking you to please do that. And on that note, may God bless and protect USA. May we be deserving and earn the blessings of God and the protection of God to save our Constitution. On that note, thank you, and please have a good evening. Good night.